step inside the tribe as our market experts share their boots-on-the-ground experience from the front lines of freight tech's emergence. I'm Tim Dooner, and this is Freight Waves Insiders.
Welcome back to the show where we go inside the career journeys and brand stories of our guests. Joining me today is Anthony Girolamo. He is the VP of Product and Engineering over at Flex. Anthony, you're joining me from Seattle. How are things over there?
Well, thanks for having me. Things today are actually looking pretty great. No rain so far today. Looking forward to being here and kind of weathering through peak.
Well, you know, I absolutely love this warehouse and this e-commerce tech space that you guys are in. But for folks that may not be familiar, what is the elevator pitch on Flex? Give us a little background here.
Yeah, so Flex provides omni-channel programmatic logistics to enterprise customers. And at a super high level, what that means is we help enterprise retailers and brands solve some of their hardest e-commerce and logistics problems at scale. We do that through a technology-enabled platform that my teams help develop in partnership with a really great operations and open network solution.
You know, I have some really impressive numbers here, too. It says that Flex works with six of the top 10 largest retailers in the U.S. You were recently named among the fastest growing companies in North America by Deloitte. And actually, that's for the fourth consecutive year in a row. And you've raised over $144 million to date. We're in the middle of peak season, though, so you guys must be kind of bored over there, aren't you?
Yeah, it's. I wish that was the case. What I'll say is I've been in logistics now for over 10 years, and every year creates its own interesting, unique little set of challenges, this year being no different. You know, luckily, we have a phenomenal team. We've been at this since 2013, Flex as a company, and so every year gets a little bit, I won't say easier, but more predictable. And so, you know, team is very hard at work making sure everybody, all of our customers, get all of their shipments out the door on time. And, you know, right now, knock on wood, everything is looking fantastic. And we're hopefully going to have a lot of very happy customers here in a week or so.
You know, I'm really curious. In the What the Truck newsletter, a newsletter I wrote, I was recently talking about Black Friday and Cyber Monday, and I was comparing some stats from this year and last year, and some of them surprised me. And now I'm curious from your take, what has been the differences that you have noticed between 2020, which was already a black swan anomalous year, and then this year, you know, we might have thought things would go a little bit differently, and it's been its own unique set of circumstances.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think, you know, one thing that is interesting to me is the more things get chaotic and change, the more they stay the same, right? And peak is always about, you know, constraints. Where do I need more labor? Where do I need more space? Where do I need more trucks? And this year's, you know, really been no different. But a lot of the, you know, as your newsletter has talked about ad nauseum, right, like freight issues that we have exacerbated some of those labor shortages and warehousing issues that we see down the road. One thing that was super surprising to me is that companies did such a great job buying inventory after last year. And I was expecting there to be more shortages, frankly, but that hasn't been true. And we've seen a fairly good supply of inventory moving through all of the supply chain partners that we have. And I think it's, you know, companies, I think, have also generally done a really great job of advertising supply chain problems. As much as I don't love us being in the news for that fact, I think consumers are really aware of it's super hard to ship and move products to their door. And so as a result, we've seen a real smoothing of demand, I would say, around Black Friday and Cyber Monday. And it wasn't nearly the size of the peak, but it's been a much longer, steady, above average rate. And I think that's a really interesting phenomenon. I'm kind of curious how that persists in future years and how that changes the way we think about designing our supply chains going forward.
Do you think, and this is my own curiosity here, do you think that it may have something to do, too, that during the pandemic in 2020, so many people had moved shopping over to the internet? So you saw like that big bump that year, but not that it plateaued, but you have people who have become just more digitally native towards shopping. And also, you mentioned the supply chain. There's been so many articles about these inventory shortfalls and stockouts. You might have had people, you know, with those deals being pushed forward, buying forward. So you've got an upper baseline, but you're not seeing the same level of spikes, right?
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. You know, I think we already were seeing this trend even before 2020, which was so much activity was moving online. But then certainly with the pandemic, that was pulled forward so much as people just needed essential lifelines from e-commerce fulfillment. Amazon, I think, you know, you really saw this reflected in some of the releases that they've done in the last year. And I think in 2021, as you know, specifically in the United States, things have opened back up. You do see this elevated, you still see this elevated online buying and desire to buy that isn't going away. And that continues to challenge companies to build supply chains that can respond to that and can respond to the customer wants of getting products in 2 day, 1 day with really, really tight precision on those delivery expectations, which, you know, while it's always has been a trend, I think it's really accelerating, is showing that it's going to be a differentiator for businesses going forward.
You know, you mentioned how supply chain had become mainstream, and it's so interesting to hear sort of this sentiment from many of us who've been in logistics for a long time. Like, I had this photographer, Nick Souza, on one of my shows just recently, and he goes, you know, for 25 years, I've been taking pictures of container ships, and this is the first year that anybody even knows what they are. But let me ask you something. This is a show about your journey as well, and at this point in the show, we'd like to go back in time and see how you see the world. So supply chain, when you were 16 years old, this wasn't this hot button mainstream topic. Most of us probably didn't think it was cool or interesting at all. What did you think you were going to be, and what kind of set you in this direction?
Well, I mean, you know, if I'm totally honest, when I went, you know, in high school, college, and graduated there, if you'd asked me, like, will you devote the majority of your career to logistics? I would have said, what is logistics? I'm not even familiar with this. You know, I started off as a builder and very early on realized I liked tinkering with computers and making computers solve problems, which led me into a computer science background. And actually, what I was most interested in was cryptography, which is basically hiding stuff on computers, and machine learning, which is playing with data. So out of school, I pursued those two endeavors and happened to just fall into logistics almost by hapstance and luck. And initially, I think my reaction was, like many people's, you're just moving boxes around. How hard could that possibly be? And what's been fascinating over the years is, like, there's just so much complexity, right? If a container ship slightly goes off balance, it might turn and get lodged in a canal. If that happens, you know, potentially all hell breaks loose across the globe, or snow might fall on a truck and the scale will get overly sensitive and suddenly it'll get rejected and products don't get in the door. And so it's this really great, as a technologist, this really great confluence of solving real world problems with real world people using technology to empower it has been super satisfying. But, you know, honestly, I was lucky and just happened to fall into it through, honestly, no good decisions of my own, just luck.
Well, because you went to the University of Michigan, and this, you're a Wolverine. This could be a really good year. You guys are in the college playoffs. This, you know, you got some big games coming up. Was the program there, do they have a program that was dedicated towards supply chain or anything like that? Or you were focused more on that programming and building side?
Yeah. So when I went there, there was a small industrial engineering program there, which I had friends in and I took a few courses, but that was not my focus area. I think they've since evolved to have some fairly sophisticated programs, especially around manufacturing and how you think about more agile manufacturing processes. While I was there, though, I really focused on the core computer science pieces and data and analytics pieces. And it, you know, it is great to be a Wolverine. It's been a lot of years, especially on the football side, since I could say that. You know, we've been a great basketball school, though, recently. And so it's very exciting to see us coming back on the football side, and very much looking forward to a few weeks.
Well, you got outside of school, you got another great education. You worked for two different companies, two giant companies that at one point were disruptors before they sort of became the standard bearers. You had almost 6 years, I believe, at Microsoft before going to Amazon, and then also having a very long tenure, especially for an Amazonian, almost 9 years. What did you learn inside those two massive institutions?
Yeah, you know, I would have quite honestly never expected to stay at either company nearly as long as I did, but I think it's a testament to the quality of the people at both places. You know, Microsoft, one of the takeaways there for me is just how to really rigorously build systems. You know, if you think about the scale of impact Microsoft had, at least, you know, in the early 2000s, I mean, it's running almost on every single computer in the world. And so when errors or mistakes were made or security was compromised, there was really like hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars of impact. And so to be able very early in your career, learn about how you think through problems holistically and completely, and how you worry about edge cases as real kind of core problems has been super valuable, especially as you transition into logistics, where There's no edge cases. There's just the happy path and the not so happy path, right? And then at Amazon, you know, the leadership principles there and the extent to which they operationalize this very consistent culture on such a huge scale and weathered huge amounts of growth with it has just really informed how I think about building teams, building leadership cultures, and the extent to which culture really does drive results and outcomes. And I think it's been so, so important.
So you're over at Microsoft and Amazon. How did you end up charting your course over to Flex?
You know, it's exactly what you just said. These, you know, one of the things I loved when I came to Amazon is, you know, it was a relatively small company when I joined in 2011. Actually, the whole development team in the United or in the Seattle area could fit in, you know, two office buildings, really. And so you get a lot done really quickly. You really almost knew everybody's name by walking around the hall. And when I left, it was, you know, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of employees, you know, millions if you include the operational staff worldwide. It was a huge amount of energy to change things. And so for me, Flex was an opportunity to get back to doing what I love, which is building. And also to do it in a space that I just thought was both critically important, knowing that people want to buy things online and the movement of that and just how critical supply chain was, and also just how hard it was to do. Watching inside Amazon and participating in building, you know, just such a great supply chain there, I realized how hard this would be to do for everybody else. And so the opportunity to help create a technology which would let other companies participate in those benefits was just so compelling and exciting that, you know, it was like a once in a lifetime opportunity to take. So I had to jump at it.
Oh, I don't blame you. And it's interesting. Like, I came from a major world. So I came from FedEx Trade Networks, giant company. And there's good and bad to that. The good was that there was structure there. There was a company. There was a logo. There was the proof of concept. People knew who you were, right? But then coming to FreightWaves, one of the things that's been so liberating about being in a startup is that you can make decisions and you can run fast doing them. Have you noticed something similar going to a relatively newer company with Flex?
Yeah, no, you know, one of the things that, again, I think is amazing is that the ability that you have to change the course and the trajectory of the entire company, right, is really just in your hands. If you see a problem, you're just so empowered to fix it at a small company compared to a big company where even if they aspire to that, there's so many other people to buy in, it takes so much time, and there's potentially bureaucracy you have to work through. So, you know, one of the things I love at Flex is just the empowerment that we have of all of our employees and the speed at which we can, you know, make things better at the company. And so as a result, the amount of innovation that we see day in and day out is just like, it's staggering to me. I'm in awe constantly of the rate at which we can get new features into customers' hands here. Even coming from a company that historically, like Amazon, moved fast, here we can do it on the order of days and hours, not months and years. And so that's been awesome and super refreshing.
You know, I was listening to another podcast you had done where you were interviewed and you were talking about technology and what role it's going to play in the future of programmatic logistics. Now, what is programmatic logistics for those that are not familiar, and what role is technology going to play?
Yeah, so I think I like to think about programmatic logistics first by talking about like how at least I see and Flex sees the industry working today. And so, you know, when I think about supply chain, but specifically warehousing, I think about it as an asset-driven industry today. And so what I mean by that is, you know, if you have products you want to move around, you've really got one of two options when you think about your warehousing. You either go buy/build your own warehouse and install your own staff there, or you work with a third-party logistics company, a 3PL, where you sign a very long-term lease and have to manage that 3PL as an outside vendor. Both, you know, lots of assets you as a company are sinking into that. And so typically the way you think about it is, how do I build a holistic solution for all of my problems all at once, right? And that's, as companies are finding, extraordinarily difficult because the way that you want to store a toaster oven is very different than the way you want to store your Lego set, which is very different than refrigerators. So fundamentally what programmatic logistics tries to do is say, let's create, you know, as a technologist, I use the word use cases, but let's create programs that solve specific problems. And let's make those very scalable and repeatable so that our enterprise customers can get access to those in very, very agile and flexible ways. And so it's a fundamentally different approach to solving logistics problems that's technology enabled and also much more geared to scale and repeat over and over again.
Logistics is one of those things that's so unique too, and the needs are so unique, as you mentioned there. How do you approach a problem like that? And how does tech approach a problem like that where there's just so many variables? Does that mean you have to make incredibly flexible architecture, or what's the back end behind that?
Totally. And I think this is one of the secret sauces here at Flex, but I agree with you. It's an extraordinarily difficult problem because every use case is so unique and different. And, you know, the way I think about it is, I'll answer your question in a second, but the way I like to think about it is similar to, you know, how cloud computing grew up, right? Now I'll use a technology example here. 25 years ago, if you were to build a website, deploy a website, you had to install a computer. You had to decide what chipset it had. You had to decide who your internet provider was, right? You had to make all of these super complicated decisions. And everybody would tell you, if you didn't make all of those decisions yourself as a business, your website wouldn't run. Now, fast forward to today, you know, if Freightware were to say, hey, we're going to build our own data center to host our platform, everybody would look at you like, you know, you have a third eye. And fundamentally, the way that problem was solved is by finding very common standard situations, programs that people wanted to repeat over and over again. And in logistics, it's no different. So, for example, one of our programs that we offer is something called a product launch. All companies launch new products. Turns out they're a real pain on the logistics side to manage, right? Because you have a lot of new inventory coming in. It's typically very, very peaky from a customer demand perspective because there's a lot of excitement. And so what you're forced to do is plan your warehousing capacity, your transportation capacity for a peak that dissipates quickly. Flex has a program which helps solve for that by providing flexible warehousing services terms, as well as a technology platform that lets you get that product into a warehouse, which is optimized to move it through quickly and then shut down quickly. So our technology solution is actually very, supposed to be an uber flexible, is actually very geared towards specific use cases, which we think is a competitive advantage by letting us go really, really fast and being really, really efficient for those use cases.
Now, what does there's the interesting thing about supply chain, and we talk about tech, is that so many companies are at so many different levels and so many different points in their journey, and some have invested millions of dollars into traditional architecture. How do you approach that problem, and how does Flex fit into that?
Yeah, you know, I think all companies can benefit from a programmatic approach because it really helps focus on the business outcomes and, more importantly, the customers that you want to serve. But what we see across, you know, our customers, you know, especially the six top retailers and brands that we support across the United States, is that they're leveraging their existing investment and using programmatic logistics as a complement to that. And so that could be everything from the need to launch new products very dynamically, or when they see unexpected things happen in their supply chain and may need extra capacity, extra storage space for a period of time. The programmatic approach is a very flexible way for them to respond to those needs.
I believe in 2020 and 2019, almost every episode of What the Truck, we would cover a deal, and we could cover all of the deals. Now my show, and this is back when the show was like one time a week, and now the show's three times a week, and there's been so many deals in freight tech, especially this year, that I can barely cover all of them, right? It seems like every minute that I go back on Twitter, there's some new deal being posted. Supply chain tech is very, very hot. What do you think about some of these investments, and what technology do you think is going to be most critical that is being invested in?
Yeah, no, I think it's long overdue personally, right? And I believe I've heard you actually say the same thing. It's, you know, a lot of it is we're, you know, almost back now into the 2020s, right, in terms of the technology that's available for both the logistics and warehousing industry. And so I think, you know, it's long, long overdue, these investments, and the innovation that's happening is phenomenal and I think extraordinarily needed. You know, I think that where you look at kind of the existing industry today, right, you know, the obvious things that pop out are labor is going to be a continued challenge for the long haul, right? You know, we have the great resignation with people leaving the workforce to look for different things. Logistics jobs are just hard. They're physically demanding. The hours are hard. And so wages will get more competitive, right, is my belief over the long term. And the job quality and the job satisfaction is going to have to be driven and improved, right, to find more folks. And so I think companies that focus on automation, companies that focus on robotics assistance are going to be in high demand. I think the other thing that's happening or is continuing to happen is that customer expectations are getting higher and higher and higher. And so people want to know, where is my package and what hours are going to show up on my doorstep? And so the more that requires real-time data, real-time insights, real-time visibility that historically has not been there. And so companies that are focused on that are going to be in really well positioned to take advantage of this investment and customer needs. And then finally, turning all that data and insights into like real, actual on the ground movement is going to be the next challenge, right? And I think that's, for me, what's one of the most exciting things about Flex is, you know, if you think about all of the data that exists, well, you can make the best decisions or have the best laid plans, but if you can't find a warehouse where your plan says to have a warehouse, you're kind of out of luck. And what's exciting, I think, about some of the investments in the programmatic logistics space is that it enables that to happen, come to fruition, which I think is a real game changer.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the availability of warehouse space too, moving into 2022 and the needs of keeping inventory on hand, it's going to be a challenging year. So efficiency is going to be prime. Now, we're almost out of time here. This just breezed by. Mr. Toad's Wild Ride is about to pull into the exit over here. But this is a show where we have a lot of students listen, a lot of people who are in a certain point in their career. So for those people out there who are thinking about their next move or getting into this industry, for those product professionals, those engineers, what advice would you have?
Yeah, I mean, I think some of the best advice I ever got from was from my dad, which is do things you love and be passionate about what you do, right? And I think the thing I've discovered along the way is also if you can be curious, so both being passionate and curious helps go a long way because it's a long career. There's a lot of interesting fields out there that you could go into. And I think picking one that you're really passionate and curious about is super, super important. You know, specific to logistics, I personally have loved working with people and actually seeing the fruits of my labor, you know, be used by other folks in the field. And I think, you know, if you can find those things you love and really motivate you early on, it's going to be really, really great and transformative. Final thing I'd say is, you know, figure out what's important to you, right? Like, you know, for me, ownership and impact have always been these just really core things that motivate me. And I was lucky enough to figure that out early in my career. And so, you know, seek out mentors, seek out experiences that help you figure that out, you know, and jump in to go solve those problems in the places that you're most excited.
I have to agree with that. I'll give you a little air cowbell. I don't have my cowbell with me. here's the secret, everybody out there, especially if you're just getting into business. None of us knew what we were doing before we got here. And most of us are figuring it out along the way with some strong Googling, a lot of passion and some grit. I mean, that's a lot of what there is to it. For those who like what they heard, they want to get involved with Flex. You know, they know what's coming. They know the storm that's coming next year and it's still going to be there. Where do I send them to?
Yeah, the best place to find more information is to head to our website, flex.com. So that is flex with an E, FLEXE.com. If you're looking for more information about all the roles we're hiring for, we have a great career page that you can find there as well.
Well, Anthony, thank you for letting us inside your world today. We appreciated the insights that you shared today. If you want to hear more interviews like this, just look up FreightWaves Insiders wherever you get your podcasts or look up FreightCast, a full trailer load of FreightWaves podcasts, every single show all on one convenient feed. If you want to watch this show, you can download the FreightWaves TV app and watch us in beautiful, stunning HD. Find me on Twitter at Timothy Dooner, that's D-O-O-N-E-R. And until next time, thank you, God bless, and that's it. Take care, get out of here.